Pickup Country.
Today is Friday, August 21st, and taking a look at our three-day forecast, a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 83. For tonight, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, areas of fog after midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 63. For Saturday, a 70% chance of showers, areas of fog before 9 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a high near 85. For Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy with a low around 63. And for your Sunday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny with a high near 85. For Sunday night, a 10% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy with a low around 63. At Meade's Do It Center, we're still up and running. Come see us for all of your home and hardware needs. We're currently offering curbside pickup and deliveries for all products. Call Meade's Do It Center at 606-723-2163 or visit our Facebook page for more information. We've got everything you need and more at your Meade's Do It Center store.
They got everything I need and more at my Do It Center store.
Appalachian Wireless has a question for you. Would you rather pay $650 or $66 for a smartphone? If you think this answer is simple, then the Appalachian Advantage Plan is for you. Pay less upfront for today's hottest smartphones, and then pay just a few dollars more every month on the monthly bill. Many smartphones are $5 a month or less after you factor in the $20 discount from the Advantage Plan compared to the contract offering. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless. Payment agreement required. See store for details.
Pickup Country 104.9, serving Betaville, Sharpsburg, Judy, Wellington, Ford, Waco, Hazel Green, Slade, and Vincent. Thanks for listening local and around the world at WSKVFM.com.
And good morning. You are listening to Pickup Country 104.9 FM, WSKV. And we have a special guest in the studio with us today, Cameron Adams, who is a candidate for 39th Circuit Judge. He is from Breathitt County, and he's joined us today to talk about his election and the reasons why he wants your vote in the race for the 39th Circuit Judge. Welcome, Cameron.
Good morning, Angela. Thanks for having me.
It is so good to have you here, and you are running for the 39th Circuit Judge, and I understand you come from a diverse background of experience. Can you share that with our listeners?
Yes, ma'am. I started my legal career as a public defender, then I switched sides and became a prosecutor, and I've also done civil cases for the last 10 years. So I've done criminal defense, criminal prosecution, and civil plaintiffs work.
And how do you feel that that diversity of experience will benefit the district?
Well, it's good to have a judge who's handled all the different types of law that you're going to be handling when you're on the bench. Probably two-thirds of the job is spent doing criminal law, so I've done both sides of the criminal law. I've been a criminal defense attorney, I've been a prosecutor, and then it's also helpful if you have experience in civil law, which I have as well.
Now, you are a lifelong resident of Breathitt County, and your slogan, I really appreciate it, is from the holler to the bench. Now, would you explain that to folks, what you mean by that?
Yes, ma'am. I grew up in the hollers of Breathitt County. As you said, I'm a lifelong resident thereof. You had to go through the creek to get to my house. The road went through the creek three times when I was growing up. So, like most of you, I've had to work for everything I've ever gotten. My dad was a logger. My mom was an apartment manager. I'm not from a rich family or a political family. So from the holler to the bench, a judge for the people is truly what I intend to be.
And you mentioned when we were speaking earlier that you want to bring the perspective of everyday people to the office. Explain how you do that.
Well, I've had to live just like everyone else in the district. As I've said, I've never had anything given to me. I had to work my way through school. I started working, I think I started my first company when I was 14, mowing grass. In fact, I used to mow here in the Bottoms in Clay City with my cousin. We mowed Clay City Green and Clay City Westwood for money. We'd shovel snow in the winters at the apartments. We would paint apartments, clean apartments. I mentioned that my mom was an apartment manager, of course, that helped. And we moved people. I've been a valet parker. I've made T-shirts. I've done a little bit of everything. So I feel like that diverse experience in my life before I became an attorney helps me understand a wider range of people when they will come before me with their potential cases.
So do you plan to use that experience and that background
to be a more fair judge? Do you think that that plays a part in being able to be more fair when you can see more perspectives?
Well, I don't like to draw comparisons, and I wouldn't say that I was more fair than anyone else, but I would certainly say that that allows me to empathize with a very wide range of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I can communicate with people from all different backgrounds. I can communicate with all people from all different socioeconomic classes. I've lived with the highest. I've lived with the lowest, and I believe that'll help me relate to people more and help me be able to explain to them what's going on in the court system a lot better than someone who hasn't.
Now, you are well aware of many of the issues in the district that need to be addressed, and there are ways that in your office that you can help some of those issues. And one of those, you mentioned that you had an interest in a veterans treatment court program. Would you explain first what that is and why the district needs it?
Yes, ma'am. Veterans treatment court programs are a type of specialty treatment program that the federal government has sort of funded, and they're designed to give special help to veterans who find themselves in the court system. You know, we have these men and women that go off, serve their country, do things that we as civilians cannot possibly imagine, the things that we ask them to do and ask them to go through. Then they come back and we expect them to just assimilate into civilian life without thinking about any special issues that their service may cause them.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I had a guy I used to defend. He would come into court and he had these dark black sunglasses on, and the judge would yell at him about having sunglasses on in court. Well, he'd been in Iraq, and an IED had gone off in front of him and damaged his eyes. So he needed those sunglasses. But that's just a small example of one of the many problems they face. I feel like as a country, we owe our veterans a little something extra rather than just throwing them in jail when they have some problems. And this Veterans Treatment Court program will allow us to bring in counselors, to try to get special grants to pay for them, to help with their transportation, with their housing, and any special issues they have.
Now, is there anyone in your background or your family that makes this a personal, something that you really believe in? Many of us have family members who are veterans. I'm just wondering, is there someone that you want to honor by reaching out and helping veterans?
My dad was in the service, but in particular, my wife's grandpa was a POW in a German prison camp. He escaped from that camp and crossed occupied France on a bicycle with another man. He brought him back. And then there were things that would happen in the course of his life that would sort of trigger that. He didn't like to talk about it, but there were a few things that I could think of that would sort of trigger those memories for him. And I know that we have that a lot with veterans. Fireworks, for example, can be a big problem for people that have gone through combat and been in a combat zone or served in a forward area. So when things like that trigger a response that causes them to end up in the court system, I would like to have something in place to deal with that.
Makes good sense. Now, of course, part of the reason that many folks end up before the courts in our area has to do with drugs. There are drug court programs. What are your thoughts on that? And as the circuit judge, what would you do with drug court?
Yes, ma'am. I'm a big proponent of drug court. I know drugs are in every family. They're in my family. I've seen them tear families apart. The reason I'm such a proponent of drug court is I like to see people have a chance to replace the huge hole that drugs leave in their life when they're gone with something positive. We can force people in drug court to get a job. We can force them to go back to school. We can force them to do community service. We can monitor them to see that they're paying their child support. Mm-hmm. We can encourage them to work towards getting custody back of their children. And that doesn't just impact them, and it doesn't just impact a narrow group of people. Every day that we don't have to pay to keep someone locked up, it saves us as a community of taxpayers. Every day that they are paying their own child support, that saves us money. Every grandparent that doesn't have to be forced to raise their grandchildren and instead gets to spoil them is benefited by it. The entire community benefits by every single person we save. And I understand that this is a problem and there's no simple solution to it. And drug court is not the magic bullet, but it's the best thing we've ever tried in the court system. And if even if we have a success rate of 20%, I'm willing to take a chance on saving that 20%. I'm willing to take that chance, swing and miss on the 80% and try to save the 20.
And by save, you don't just mean making them productive members of our community, but literally avoiding overdoses and things of that nature.
I do literally mean save.
Yeah.
In every sense of the word. And I do mean making them productive members of our community as well, because when we lose them as productive members of our community, then we've essentially lost them almost as much as if we've had that more final outcome.
Well, I appreciate you speaking on these topics. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we go? Maybe a last plea there of why you feel you are the best person for the job?
Well, I'll say this. I've enjoyed campaigning way more than I ever thought I would. I would love to get out and meet every single voter in the district. I understand that with time constraints and in the middle of a pandemic, that's probably not going to be possible, but I'm certainly going to do my best. And if I see you out, I'll probably stop if I'm going by and try to yell at you and ask you to keep me in mind in November.
Sounds good. Well, folks, thanks so much for tuning in and listening. His name is Cameron Adams. He is coming to you from the holler to the bench. He's running for circuit judge of the 39th district, and he is seeking your vote. Thank you so much for coming in.